I remember a young man years ago. There was two brothers, and one of them always, as far as I could remember, always honored his mother and dad. He was just the nicest guy. He never said anything derogatory about his dad or nothing. And when we were apart, of course, I don't know. I'm sure since he didn't do it when they were apart, it was me. But I'm sure he certainly didn't do that when he was with his dad. But the other one was totally different. You know, you'd say something to John about his dad, and, oh yeah, dad, he's wonderful. I love my dad. You know, he's a great guy and all this stuff. And then you say Bob something about, oh, the old man, you know, I mean, the old man, he's old. He lives in another world. He don't want me to do that. He don't want me to have no fun no more. The old man. It sounds like he's honoring his daddy. No. You know, about 45 years old, Bob died. Isn't that something? He just died. No apparent reason for him to die. Just died. But the other young man, he's still going strong. He must be 70 or 75 years old today, but he's still going strong. Now then, when God says, honor your parents, that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life on earth, you think he really meant that? Oh, this is just an old book. It don't mean what it says. It always means what it says, doesn't it? You know, I mean, you know, when you learn these things, you begin to understand why people suffer what they suffer. Because who's in control? God is. He's in control. And just like I've said many a time, whether you know it or not, you live according to this book. This is your owner's manual for life. If you know it, you live according to the book. If you don't know it, you have no fear of God. You do anything you want to do, and it costs you your life at an early age. Or you have all kinds of sickness and disease. Now then, you know, the reason I got into these kind of things, I would run into somebody, and it seems like everything this particular man or woman does, they're blessed. It's like they're born. You've heard people say, good grief, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Everything he touches turns to gold. You ever heard of something like that? And then the next one said, what do you thought about this guy? Oh, man, he must have been born under a curse, man. I mean, that guy, he breaks a leg twice a year. You know, he got an arm broke or whatever, or he gets teeth knocked out. You know, the guy, I mean, he gets a car and it breaks down. And I mean, somebody buys him a nice car and they've drove this car for 50,000 miles and it never broke down. They bought it and give it or let him have it. And in 3,000 miles, the thing's a piece of junk. It's tore all to pieces. I think, why? What is all this? What's causing all this? And when I begin to understand about the blessings and the curses and walking obedience to God's word, I begin to understand all this. It began to make sense to me. So when you're living under the blessings of God, you know, I can think one time that I asked the Lord when my children were little, we needed a bigger car, and so I needed a little station wagon. Well, I wanted a standard shift. I wanted to have air conditioning, and I wanted to get good gas mileage. Well, the Lord brought me a little brown four-door Dodge slant six with a standard shift with air conditioning, and it had like 50,000 miles on it. The guy just put a brand new set of tires on it. He said, well, the reason I want to sell it is because at 50,000, they usually start giving a little bit of trouble. So he said, you know, I just want to sell it. I said, okay. So, and I told the Lord I had $2,000 to pay for a car. Well, the car cost me $1,800. By the time I paid the sales tax on it, I still had money left over. I bought this little car for $1,800. And he sold it at $50,000 because he thought it was going to start giving trouble. I drove the car, walking in obedience to God's word, I drove the car to 200,000 miles and never did anything to that car, put a set of spark plugs in it and points and one more set of tires. Never even put a set of brakes on it. Drove it 200,000 miles. You know, that means I drove it, or Betty and I drove it 150,000 miles, and here he sold it at 50,000 thinking it's going to be, and the same thing, that little Oldsmobile that's still sitting out there on the back lot. When I bought that, the lady that bought that, although she was a Christian, but something she didn't do that pleases God, because she bought that car brand new, and by the time it had 38,000 miles on it, just out of warranty, she had to put a new air conditioning compressor on it, she had to put new brakes on it, she had just put brand new tires on it, and she was getting ready to go to Europe with her husband, so she wanted to sell the car and get rid of it. So I was needing a car, so I'd prayed and asked God to give me a car, and that morning when I come and sat down, I told her, well, I'd like to have a little Oldsmobile. That's what I'd like to have. Well, I come sit down at the paper, and the paper was open to that page, and my eyes fell on that ad. So I called the lady, and she said, yes, I need to sell it because we're going to Europe to live for a couple of years. And I went over, she told me all the things. She had all the receipts for all the money she spent on this car, and she bought this car brand new. It's got 38,000 miles on it. She sold it to me at a very good price. Again, we drove that car to over 200,000 miles. Never had another minute trouble with the air conditioning. Never had no trouble with the brake. Never had any trouble with that car. Now, why did she have so much trouble and she bought it new? And why did I have no troubles with it and I bought it used? What's the difference? I am walking in obedience to God's word. I am loving the King, serving him about his business. And he's making whatever I do, prosper. And he'll do that for anybody. He's no respecter of persons, is he? Abs, praise God, he's no respecter of persons. So I think how awesome God is. So if you want to be blessed, you have to obey God. There's no two ways about it. Now, but some people have no fear of God to restrain them whatsoever. They just go out and do what they want to do. I'm talking about people in church. I mean, the average person in church believes that God would never give you a spanking. He would never chastise you. He would never afflict you or your children with something because of a disobedience. They just don't believe that. But let me tell you, we have proven it in this ministry over and over and over. Now then, verse 20 and 21. For no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what this law, his law, commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. Some people have never read the law. If you read the law and you see what God requires, that ought to scare your socks off. Because he has a very tight set of rules, doesn't he? Very tight. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight. Praise God. If there's another way, I'm glad there's another way, because I sure had trouble with the first one. Didn't you? Did all of God's people have trouble with the first way? Oh, yeah. So they're no different than us. They couldn't keep the law. They tried, but they couldn't. It says, for no one can ever be made right by God's sight by doing what the law commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes we aren't obeying it. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight, not by obeying the law, but by the way promised the scripture long ago, verse 22 and 23. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. For all have sinned and all fall short of God's glorious standard. In verse 22, where it says we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus, what is the word there that we used a while ago? Faith. When we have faith in him, right? When we have faith in Jesus, that's the way we trust in him. We have faith, and we have, when we do this. Now then, the next couple of verses. Yet now, God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. Okay, if we couldn't take away our sins. We tried everything to keep the law and everything else. We can't do it. But now Jesus, he has done it, something for us that is impossible for us to do. He paid the price for our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins. Punishment? You mean there's a punishment for sin? Absolutely, there's a punishment for sin. And there's still a punishment for sin. And we still don't get by with it. And that's what's so scary. Most of us don't know that. In fact, what's so devastating, I've heard many people preach that once you get saved, it's okay. You can go out and live any way you want to now, and it's okay. Have you ever heard that preached? I've heard that preached a lot, but that ain't the scripture, is it? No, that's not what God's word says. It says in verse 25, God has sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. Verse 6 and 7. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. So the people way back yonder, they were looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Now we're looking back on his coming, and all of us that believe, we're all are set free. And he accepts that as a sacrifice for our sins. He says, and he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It is based on our faith. You got to have faith. Without faith, you can please God without faith? No. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And again, that's why so many people have such a problem when they begin to learn about healing. They don't understand that you have to do it by faith. When I think about faith, I looked at Kim there smiling. Immediately it triggered something. And I've told this story many times on her. But I remember when I started teaching this church that we could remit sins. In John 20:23. That was a new one on most people in this church. It was a new one on her. She had never heard that concept, but yet had been in God's Word for how long?
Forever.
2,000 years. John 20:23, and she had read it many times, her and her husband both, but it never had become a revelation. Well, after she learned it, one day they were at home there, and they come in one night with their three children, and the power was out. And they called the electric company at about 10 o'clock, I think, and the electric company said, well, we're having our little problem, but we should have it back on by about 2. They decided, well, we'll just go to bed and wake up in the morning and get the kids up and everything. Well, the next morning, woke up at 6 o'clock, and the power's still off. So Kim gets on the phone and calls the people, and they said, you know, we don't know how long it's going to be before we get it on. And so she's praying now and seeking God. And God tells her, he says, Kim, remit the sins of your block. Well, her first immediate reply is, God, I can't remit the sins of this block. Now, if God told her to remit the sins of the block, and then a word came to tell her she can't, guess who talked to her right after God did? Now, you wouldn't think he would do a thing like that quick, would you, Tom? You notice he didn't wait very long, did he? I mean, he put that thought in her heart instantly. And then, of course, then the Lord got through to her, and she said, oh, God, what am I saying? Lord, if you tell me to remit the sins of this block, she said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I remit the sins of this block. And the minute that word cleared her mouth, what happened? The power came right back on. Now, isn't that something? Who would have ever dreamed that somebody's sin was keeping the power off at your house? That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? But this is a true story, right, Kim? Scott, you were there too. Both of you. Okay. Yeah. This is not some wild story that I come up with, is it? It's a story that happened to you too. Can you remit the sins of the block? If God tells you to do that, now what do you do? You don't argue with God no more. When you exercise your faith in His Word, it happens, doesn't it? Now then, if you had not done that morning, you think God would have been happy with you? He would not have been happy with you because you didn't exercise the faith, but He wants you to trust Him in His Word, does He not? That's what He wants. But now then, after she did that, can she boast about that? That's just like when Rosemary, I mean, I told the story about Rosemary and the little boy so many times that, and it's an awesome story. I mean, I just still think that's an awesome story. One day, Rosemary kind of got a little puffed up or something like that, right? I mean, I guess I really am getting to be a woman of faith, you know? I mean, she just kind of, you know, silently thinking, wow, I'm really getting, and even, what happened to you, Rosemary? A headache, wasn't it? I mean, a migraine immediately came upon her. And she said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And he says, I don't share my glory with nobody. Oh, she said, Lord, I repent. And what happened to the migraine? You learned a great lesson there, didn't you? When I tell the story now, you give Him all the glory, right? You don't take none.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Faith Stuff Really Works, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.